And in Parshas Tetzaveh, we have the Inyan mentioned of the Bigdei Kohuna. The Bigdei Kohuna are the special begadim that the Kohanim had to wear at the time of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs asei that the Kohanim have to wear special begadim at the time that they do the Avodah. And if they do the right Avodah, exactly the right way, but they're not wearing the begadim, so the Avodah is pasul, mechusar begadim. And the Pasuk says, V'asisa Bigdei Kodesh la'aroin achicha, L'chavoyru l'sifaris, the begadim for Aaron Achicha, special begadim for the Kohen Gadol, special begadim for the Kohen Hedyot. This is a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, certain avoidas if the Kohen does without his Bigdei Kohuna, he's chayiv misa. So it's something that's very special and very important. What's the inyan of a Bigdei Kohuna? Why when someone is doing the avoidah, the Kohenim, is it so important that they wear a special begadim? So the Rambam discusses this at great length in his Sefer Moira Nevuchim, in Chelek Gimel, Perek Memhei. The Rambam says over there that this is an inyan of Kavod Beis HaMikdash. Kavod Beis HaMikdash, when a person, the Kohenim, who are the Mesharsei Hashem, they're the ones who are chosen to do the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So they have to understand that this is something in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not your regular place of doing any type of Avoid. You're doing a special Avoid to Hashem, bringing the Karbanos for Klal Yisrael, doing other things that only Kohenim do. And therefore, for the Kavod of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Kavod of the special place in which they're doing the Avodah, they have to wear a special begadim. Ad kadei kach, that if they don't wear the begadim, it could be pasal, they could be chayiv misa, something that's very chamur, that they have to wear the begadim for the kavod of the Beis HaMikdash. If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tzadi Tes, which is the mitzvah of wearing the Bigdei Kohuna, he says another insight, which is something mamish amazing, about the Indian of the Bigdei Kohuna. He mentions this pshat as well, that it's a kavod of the Beis HaMikdash, but he says there's another aspect. He says, based on what I've told you a number of times, Sefer HaChinuch writes this in many mitzvahs, most famously in Mitzvah Tes Zayin, where he's talking about all the mitzvahs that we have to do Pesach time, about Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim, all the mitzvahs Asei and Lois Asei that are involved with the Karban Pesach. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, why do we have so many mitzvahs, Zeichel Tzias Mitzrayim? Do one or two things that will remind us about Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and made us into a nation. Why everything? And you can't break a bone in the Karban Pesach, and you can't take it out of the Chabura, and all these mitzvahs, which is all for the same idea of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Sefer HaChinuch says there an important yesod, and he repeats this and reviews this many, many different times. He says, "Sheha'adam nif'al kefi pu'uloisav." Ha'adam nif'al kefi pu'uloisav. Which means that a person is affected internally by his external actions. According to the pu'ulos of a person, the actions that he does, ha'adam nifal, a person is infected and is affected in his pneumias. This is a yisoy that the Sefer HaChinuch uses for many mitzvahs. Other people discuss it as well. The Mesilas Yesharim mentions this in Perek Zayin when he's talking about zrizus. He says if a person has a certain geshmak and a bren for doing mitzvahs, so then he'll do them bezrizus. But he says it can start the other way as well. Hatenua hachitzoyna ma'ireres hapnimis. If someone does something in a chitzonius takeaway, if he acts bezrizus, that itself will inspire in him the bren to do things bezrizus. A person is nifal kafi pu'uloisa. And therefore says the Sefer HaChinuch that that's the idea of the Bigdei Kohuna. When a person wears the Bigdei Kohuna, so he's nisayir, he understands that he's involved in a special avoida, and once that's the case, he'll treat it with the proper respect, and he'll get all the inspiration that a kohen needs at the time of doing avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. Seems a little strange, the Sefer HaChinuch's application of his idea of Adam Nifal Kafi Pu'ulaisa. When we're talking about Pu'ulais, things that a person has to do, mitzvahs, mitzvahs asei, mitzvahs lois asei, so we say if a person does external actions, so that affects him internally. But what action are we talking about over here? We're talking about wearing clothing. Kohen the whole day is walking around with his Bigdei Kohuna. Kohen Gadol has special extra four begadim, Bigdei Kohen Gadol. It's not a Pu'ula, it's not an action that a person is affected by his external actions. Well, what action are we talking about? We're talking about a person wearing clothing. So if you say it's for the Kavod Beis HaMikdash, that's an external thing. Everyone should see, oh, the Beis HaMikdash, you wear special clothing when you do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But what does it mean when the Sefer HaChinuch tells us that a person is nifal kafi pu'uloisav, a person is affected by his actions, and therefore he has to wear special clothing for serving the avoid? What we see from the Sefer HaChinuch is a very important insight in clothing. Clothing that a person wears is not just to cover his body. The clothing that a person chooses to wear is a statement. A person conveys a certain message when he's wearing clothing. L'mashal, when a person is wearing fancy clothing, he's expressing that it's a special occasion. It's for Shabbos or for Yantif, for a special occasion, a simcha. If a person is wearing more sporty clothing, so that that is a statement that he wants to act more casual and more sporty, and not so official. So that's the pa'ula that the Sefer HaChinuch is referring to. I'm not talking about an action that you do with your hands, but it's an outward statement when a person chooses to wear certain types of begadim, certain types of clothing. That's a statement as to what his mood is and how he's planning on acting in a certain situation. A few weeks ago, I was in Stop and Shop, stopping and shopping, and I was walking down an aisle, and a Shvatza lady comes over to me and says, "Hey, are you one of those men from the school on Cook Street?" So I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I am." So she says, "Oh, I could tell you guys anywhere." So I told her I could tell a Shvatza anywhere, but I didn't tell her that, even though I wanted to. I control myself. But she says, "Yeah, I could tell you guys, yeah. I know the school on Cook Street. That's the one where all the rabbis are wearing the dark suits and the gray ties. And all the younger guys are wearing all those flip-flops and that type of stuff." So a few of my Talmidim were kind enough to explain to me what flip-flops are. So I said, yeah, that's the place. So people notice. People notice what rabbis wear. People notice what people who spend a lot of time outside in the parking lot wear. People notice. I said, whatever, she wasn't saying it in any, she was just describing the school. I said, yeah, that's the school. So people think, you know, clothes is chitainius, and what is it already? But it's a statement. It's something that people notice, and it's something that a person, when they choose what clothing to wear, they have to realize that what they're wearing is a statement. What they're wearing is something that people notice. There's an incredible pshat in the Gemara I saw once in the Tzlach. The Tzlach is the same person as the Noid of Yehuda. And the Tzlach has a sefer on many mesechtes and shas and brachas on the Aflamed Deis Amud Aleph. The Tzlach says as follows. There's a Gemara that says over there in brachas Aflamed Deis that Moshe Rabbeinu, after the story with the eagle, he goes to Hashem and he davens to Hashem that he should forgive Klal Yisrael. And Hashem says to him, "Va'ata hanicholi," next week's parasha, "hanicholi, let go of me." So funny, Lashon HaPasuk, Hashem says, "Let go of me." Hashem doesn't say, "Matitzak Eloi, stop davening." He says, "Let go of me." So the Gemara says, "Il mole mikra kosuv I efshala aimroi." So the Pasuk wouldn't say such a thing, like you can't say it on your own. I efshala aimroi. Malamid shetofsay Moshe laHakadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that Moshe kaviyachol grabbed onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu ka'adam shehu toifes es chaveiroi bevigdoi. Like someone who grabs onto his friend with his clothes, he takes his shirt and he grabs onto him. V'amal lefanav, and Moshe said to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, ein ani manichacha, I'm not letting go of you, ad shetimcho v'tislach lahem." That's how passionate and committed Moshe Rabbeinu was to getting mechila and slicha for Klal Yisrael after the egel, that he ke'ilu held on to the Ribbono shel Olam ka'odam matoifis bevigdoi, like a person who takes his friend with his clothing, ad kedei kach, that Hashem has to say, "V'ata hanichali, let go of me." That's the Gemara. So the Tzlach says, Chazal are very medayik every word that they use when they make a mashal. What does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu held on to Hashem? Ka'odam ha'toifes es chaveira bevigdoi. Say, like a person grabs onto his friend. What does it mean? Ka'odam ha'toifes es chaveira bevigdoi. Why did Chazal choose in the mashal to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding on to Hashem like a person holds on to his friend with his clothing, bevigodim? So the Tzlach says, what are begodim? Ki ha'begodim sha'odam loivesh, moirim al masha belibot. The clothing that a person chooses to wear, moirim, those, that's an indication, al masha beliboy, on what's going on inside of him. Clothing that a person wears is a statement, what's going on inside. He says, if there's a shas simcha, the person's at a happy time, he wears happy-looking clothing. The person's at a shas tsar, it's a time of tsara. So a person wears clothing of mourning, sackcloth, kayotze bazeh. If a person is in a milchama, it's a shas milchama, so he'll wear a uniform. He'll carry around his sword, his spear, his gun, whatever it is. But the clothing that a person wears indicates what type of situation that he's in. Memeila by Hashem Yisbarach, says the Tzlach, what are the clothing of Hashem? Those are the midas of Hashem. Hashem gives off acts with many different midas. Sometimes it's a shas ratzon. Hashem is looks on us favorably. Sometimes it's a shas zam. Hashem is angry at us. Depends usually on the actions of Klal Yisrael. But there's different times, and different times Hashem deals with Klal Yisrael with different midas. So the begadim, which are the statement of what mood a person is in and what situation he chooses to be in and to act like. By Hashem, that means that his midas. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Maisa Egel, says the Slach, it was a strong midas adin. Hashem wanted to punish Klai, so Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to hold on to the midas adin and grab hold of the midas adin and say, don't act with the midas adin. Rather, you should have... forgive Klai Yisrael. So when Moshe Rabbeinu held on to the Midas of Hashem, held on to the Midas Adin of Hashem, so Chazal B'davka used the mashal, Ka'odam HaTofes HaSchaver B'Vigdoi, because the Midas of Hashem, the Midas of Hashem is like the begodim of a person. It's the statement, it's the way that a person is showing the mood inside of him and the feeling inside of him. Akopanim, we see from this Tzlach that when a person wears clothing, it's not just a covering that he chooses to wear. It's an announcement, it's a statement of what's going on. And as the Sefer HaChinuch says, not only is it a statement outwards, something that we've seen that people notice and people comment on, but it's something the Sefer HaChinuch says that ultimately affects our behavior. Because when we're wearing special clothing, Big Day Kahuna, we realize, hey, these are special clothing, you only wear them in the Beis HaMikdash. Only a Kohen is allowed to wear these begadim. These are clothes that are special. I have to act accordingly. I have to make sure my machshavas are pure, and I have everything lishma and the karbanos, and I'm doing everything for the proper reasons. The Big Day Kahuna, I'm ma'ayir the Kohen to realize the chashivus of the avoida that he's involved in. This idea is relevant, really, to each and every one of us in our daily life, even though not all of us are Kohenim, and none of us at this time are working in the Beis HaMikdash. But we thank Hashem every morning. Say that Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Malbish Arumim. Hashem gives us clothing. Hashem invented clothing, made them able to manufacture clothing, gave us money to afford clothing. Bottom line, after Hashem is Malbish Arumim, it's up to each and every person to choose how he's going to help Hashem be Malbish Arumim. To choose exactly what type of clothing he's going to wear. When a person wears the clothes of a yeshiva bachar, so he realizes that he's not a guy on the street. He's not dressed like the Shvatzer walking down the street. And he's not even dressed like the simple Jew. He's dressed like a yeshiva bachar, and he's ma'ir. Hey, you know, I'm part of the olam ha-yeshivas, and a person is nis'ayir. A person is affected by that, and he acts accordingly. He acts according to his dress. In yeshivas b'derech klal, people wear button-down shirts. What's the idea of a button-down shirt? It's no issue to wear a t-shirt. But a t-shirt, when a person wears a t-shirt, that's appropriate for playing basketball. A person with t-shirt, it could be appropriate for a Bein HaZmanim trip. But during the Zman, when a person is involved in Torah and Avoda and Yerushalayim on a daily basis, so a button-down shirt is the minimum standard that most yeshivas require that a person should wear that. Again, first of all, as a statement to the person, when he chooses to wear a t-shirt, he's showing that he's in casual hanhaga, and he's not taking things as seriously as a Ben Yeshiva should do on a regular basis in a Beis Medrash. But in addition to that, and probably even more important, is the second step, which the Sefer HaChinuch says, is hachitzoynis ma'ireres hapnimis. Adam nifal kafi pu'loisav, that if a person's statement is something that's chashivus, I wear a shirt that's chashuv, and I wear pants that are regular pants, and not sports pants, and not shorts. So this is something that a person has to live up to what his dress looks like, and that itself affects his pnimis. The truth is that's the Indian of a white shirt as well. Many people laugh about it, like what's the difference if you wear a white shirt? That's chitzonis, the ikar is what's inside. It's definitely very true. When a person looks at someone else, you can't judge a person based on what color shirt he's wearing, based on what his yarmulke looks like. If you're looking at another year, the Mishnah says, Al tistakel b'kankan ela b'mashe yeshbei. You should look at what's inside of him. It's not important to you how he looks. The main thing is inside of him. That's true when you're looking on someone else. When a person has to choose his own clothing, the idea that a person wears clothing that is set a miyuchad for a yeshiva bachar, that's something that makes the person feel more connected, more associate himself as a yeshiva bachar, and therefore he has to act accordingly. There's no isurim, there's no halachas, it's not befeirish hazachin. But when a person, if you look around in the olam ha-yeshivas, in most yeshiva bachram in the world, not most people in the world, not even most Jews in the world, but most yeshiva bachram in the world wear white shirts. So it doesn't mean that if a person wears a white, not white shirt, he's less of a yeshiva bachram. But the idea is when a person does do that and he realizes that he's not even a businessman, he's not even just a regular from Jew, he's someone who's sitting in the Kaisle Beis Medrash and learning Torah, and he's dressed accordingly. So when a person does that, he just naturally associates himself more with the chash of a chabura, even if the chabura is not in front of him, it's a worldwide chabura. And that's something that the Sefer HaChinuch teaches us that affects a person and affects his growth in Torah and Yerushalayim. The same thing, by the way, is benegeah to a hat. A hat by davening. People, even people who do wear jackets and ties throughout the day, most people don't wear their hats throughout the entire day. But the minimum standard when we come into the Beis Medrash and daven, a tefillah, whether it's tefillah b'tzibur, tefillah b'yachidus, the minimum standard is the Mishnah Berurah. We're not looking to do all the chumras and all the menhagim. If it's not our minhag, and we're not holding by a chumrah. But the Mishnah Berurah, people may be very unaware that the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchas Tefillah, if you want to look it up, it's in Siman Tzadi Aleph, Sifkat and Yud Beis. Mishnah Berurah says, Uvizmanenu, in our days, Tzarech lahasim bo'eis ha-tefillah, koiv ha-beroisha. Person has to put, at the time of Tefillah, a hat on his head. And his makar is from the Chayyadam in Klal Chof Beis, Ois Ches, says beferish that a person, when he comes to daven, he has to put a hat on top of his head. Married people who have a talis, or anybody has a talis, if you put the talis on top of your head, that's also a head covering. But bizmanenu, someone who's not wearing a talis, tzarech lahasim be'eis ha-tefillah, koiv ha-beroisha. You'll tell me that there are many people who don't wear a hat for davening. It's very true. But like they say in Eretz Yisrael, mal asot. What can you do? It's not a question that the pais can bring down a chumrah or a minig. There are many people, unfortunately, who do things not like the Mishnah Berurah, whether they're not so careful in Zehiris and Mitzvahs, or whether they're very careful, but they just don't realize that the Mishnah Berurah says that this is Meikar Adin. Now, whatever it is, communities that people are from, families that people are from, yeshivas that they went to, that's how people get used to doing things, and they think the standard is. But if a person is davening without a hat, so he's not davening according to the Mishnah Berurah. I'm not saying a person could try to go to a Rav and try to find kulas, but in the time of davening, where we're coming to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I was supposed to daven in a way b'derech kavod. Hikoin likras elokecha Yisrael, a person is supposed to prepare himself and try to make statements in his davening that he's dressed special, he's wearing his jacket the right way with his hands in his sleeves, he's wearing a hat. We're not looking for loopholes, adrabba, we're looking for ways to be ma'arit to us. So many people who start becoming b'nei aliyah and start working on themselves feel very down on themselves that they're not machshav the tefillah as much, they don't understand the tefillah, they don't have kavana by tefillah. The Sefer HaChinuch says, Adam nifal kafi pu loisav. If you start being makbid on the way you dress during tefillah, the person's makbid to wear his jacket, to wear his hat, that's something that's already automatically inside of a person, a chashivas for tefillah, and the mela that makes it that a person in his panemius will also be makshiv the tefillah and will grow accordingly. The truth is, the halacha with a hat, I once saw that Reb Chaim Kanevsky takes it so far, he has a letter that he writes, and it's brought down in a sefer, Nekius v'kavod b'tfilah, which is also in Yonim of Hachana l'tfilah. Reb Chaim Kanevsky wrote the mechaber of that sefer, that if a person can't find his hat before davening, it's better to miss tfilah b'tzibur than to daven without a hat. He says you should look for your hat, or you should borrow someone else's hat after davening. You should miss tfilah b'tzibur, which is a huge chiddush that I didn't see in other poskim. And Adrab, in the Halicha Shlaimai, Reb Shlaima Zalman, he says there, when he's talking about wearing a hat by davening, he says, but avadi, you shouldn't miss tefillah b'tzibur if it's an issue of davening without a hat. So it's a machlokes, it seems, in the poskim, but it's an issue. We're not talking about minhagim and chumras over here. Reb Chaim Kanevsky says a person should miss tefillah b'tzibur. Reb Shlaima Zalman says, no, tefillah b'tzibur is more important. A person should daven without a hat if he can't find his hat when it's the last minion in town. He said, you have to be careful in Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of minyanim, maybe go to a later minion. Borrow someone's hat and go to a later minion. But if it's the last minion issue, you're going to miss tefillah b'tzibur, then you shouldn't wait for the hat. But whatever it is, we see that the poskim, everyone should ask their own rav, their own rosh hashiva, exactly what to do. But l'maisa, I'm showing that it's not an issue that they took lightly. If a person can make tefillah b'tzibur and can daven with the hat, that's something that should be for a yeshiva bachar, a minimum standard like the Mishnah Berurah. And again, like this, a person feels connected with the yeshiva world, with the people who are doing this, and ultimately that will help a person steig in Torah and Yerushalayim, which is what we're all trying to do. Now, there are many lessons that we learn from the Big Day Kuna. Can't get into too many of them. The hour is late for a Friday. But one point I want to bring out from one of the Big Day Kuna, and that is the beged called the Me'il, which is a beged that the regular Kayin, the Kayin Hedyot, did not wear. But it's one of the begadim that was special for the Kohen Gadol. The me'il, the robe that was special for the Kohen Gadol, made out of tcheles, a blue robe. And the parasha talks about all the different pratim of the me'il. And one thing that it says about the make of the me'il was that on the bottom of the me'il, by the hem, on the bottom of the robe, it says in the pasuk in Perachov Ches, pasuk Lamed Dalet, pa'amoin zahav v'rimoin, it had a golden bell, v'rimoin, a pomegranate, Pa'amoin zahav v'rimoin, ashulei ha-me'il saviv, throughout all around, on the hem of the me'il, was pa'amoin zahav v'rimoin. Now, There were no pomegranates, if I could reveal a secret. There were no pomegranates hanging on the robe of the Kohen Gadol. It doesn't mean pomegranates. It means that it was made out of wool in the shape of Rimonim, in the shape of pomegranates, the circular shape. That's how it was on the Shulei Hamil. And then the pomegranates, though, however, were real bells. They were pomegranates of, they were made out of gold, had the clapper in the middle, and it made a noise, and those were real bells. So you had pomegranates, al shulei ha-me'il saviv. So there's a machlokes rishonim, exactly how the me'il looked. Every picture that you look at is assuming like one or two of the rishonim. Usually it goes like Rashi's, machlokes Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says the way you might understand the pasuk in a pashat, the way pomegranates of rimoin, that it alternated. One pomegranate, one rimoin. There were 72 all around, 36 on each side. So 36 exactly the same amount of number, but pomegranate, rimoin, every other one. And in the back also pomegranate, rimoin. That's the way Rashi learns, that's the way the Rambam describes the Me'il, also in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. Rambam describes it like Rashi as well. However, if you look at the Ramban, Al HaTorah, the Ramban argues on Rashi. And the Ramban says that the way it was, you only saw the Rimonim when you looked at the Me'il. All those round things that were made out of wool, different color wool, shaped like a pomegranate, that's all you saw. When it says the pomegranate will be soicher rimoinim, it doesn't mean that they alternated each one. It means that inside the rimoin, there was a space, it was a hollow rimoin, and they had in there the pomegranate. The pomegranate was like ringing inside the rimoin. And along the middle, you didn't see the pomegranate. The pomegranate was hidden, tucked in to the rimoin. All you saw was rimoinim. And the pomegranate, when it says pomegranate rimoin, it means each rimoin had its own pamoin inside of it. It had its own bell inside of it. And that's how it was. Machlokes rishonim. Now the truth is, the pasuk says that the pamoinim were besoicha rimoinim. The bells were, it says besoicham in our parasha. Later in Parashas Pekudei, when it says that they made it, it says the pamoinim were besoicha rimoinim. It's very much mashma like the Ramban, that it was besoicha rimoinim, that it was inside the rimoin itself. How does Rashi understand the pasuk that says that the pamoinim, the bells were besoich harimainim? So Rashi teaches that besoich doesn't mean inside. Sometimes besoich can mean in between. Besoicham means in between. The pamoinim were besoich harimainim. They were in between the two pomegranates. You have in the beginning of Parashas Bereishis, right? Yehi rakia besoich hamayim. The rakia should be besoich hamayim. It doesn't mean that the rakia is inside the water. Now besoich hamayim, Rashi says there that it means between the two waters was rakia. So besoich can sometimes mean in between. So Rashi over here explains the same way, that pamoinim besoicha rimoinim means that they were in between, not mamish inside, but in between. But the question that the Mefarshim ask is, according to Rashi, that the besoicham doesn't mean inside of it. It means that it was in between. You had alternating, pamoin, rimoin. So why does the Torah describe the look of the me'il as the bells inside the pomegranates? Pamoinim besoicha rimoinim. For the same price, you could tell us, rimoinim besoicha pamoinim. Each one was between two of the other guys, right? You had the rimoinim. Every rimoin, you had a pamoin over here and here. And then it's this rimoin also pamoin here and here. So that also the pamoinim had rimoin. It was every other one. You guys could figure it out. 36 in the front, 36 in the back is the same exact number. And each one, pamoin, rimoin, all along. So yes, every pamoin was between two rimoinim. But every rimoin was between two pamoinim. And one side started with a pamoin, the other side ended with a rimoin. So it wasn't like it was encircled by rimoinim. It was pamoin, rimoin. So the Mefarshim asked, according to the Ramban, it's very good. Besoicham means inside of it. End of story. It was inside of it. But according to Rashi, it doesn't mean inside of it. It means in between. So why do we describe the me'il as being pamoin and besoicha rimoin? The bells were inside the pomegranates. Let's just say each was inside the other. Say rimoin and besoicha pamoin. This is a question that the Mefarshim asked. So I saw that the Alshech says the Teretz, Bederach Machshava, says the Teretz, why the Torah described the me'il as pamoinim besoicha rimoinim, and not the opposite, rimoinim besoicha pamoinim. And he says that there's a Gemara that says, in Erchin, Daf Tazayin, the Gemara says that each of the Bigdei Kohuna were mechaper for different averes, and it says that the me'il, the robe of the Kohen Gadol, was mechaper for the avera of Lashon Hara. The me'il was mechaper for Lashon Hara, and many different aspects of the me'il are meramis to us that it brings atonement for the Avera of Lashon Hara. So says the Alshech, the pamoin makes a lot of noise. The pamoin is a bell, it rings, it makes a lot of noise. That represents dibur, it represents a person talking, a person making a lot of noise like people do. And the rimoin was very quiet, the rimoin doesn't make any noise, a little hollow circle. So that represents shtika, represents someone who's not talking, someone who's quiet. So yes, there was shtika dibur, there's pamin rima in all of them. But the Torah wants to tell you how you should look at the me'il. And with this, the Torah is going to tell you the key to being saved from the aveira of lashon hara. You shouldn't look at the me'il that for every shtika there was two dibur's. For every rimoin there was two pamoin. No, the pamoinim, that dibur, was b'soich harimoinim. The pamoin, which represents making noise, which represents talking, is should be looked at by the person, by the human eye, as b'soich harimoinim, as in between two quietness, two shtikas. And like this, when a person looks at the me'il, he's not focused on the two pamoinim and the one rimoin in the middle. No, he's focused on the two rimoinim and the pamoin in the middle. And that's supposed to remind a person that he should be quiet twice as much as he speaks. When a person speaks, sometimes it's a time for a person to talk. If he's saying something important, if he's learning, if he's davening, if he's helping a friend, if he's saying divrei rishus, fine, person can have a dibur. But for every dibur, person should have two shtikas. You could have looked at it the other way. If the Torah would have said, the rimayinim abasaycha pamayinim, every time a person shayseks, he should talk twice every time he listens to something. So no, the Torah tells you specifically pamoinim b'soicha rimoinim, which means that the talking should be looked at by the person. What you should learn from the me'il is that it should be looked at b'soicha rimoinim b'soich two shtikas, and that will eventually save a person from lashon hara. The natural teva of a person is not to have self-control. A person has an urge to say something, a gishmak, a story that you heard about someone else, which might be a little negative. A person has a taiva to talk during a davening or to go over to someone in the middle of learning and say a nice piece about Tala. The teva of a person shouldn't feel so unusual if he does this. This is the natural teva of most people, is to say what you want to say. Not to demonstrate self-control that, you know, I want to say it, but now is not the proper time to talk, or I shouldn't really say this thing because it could be lashon hara. Then you know, a person will shy away from saying something at the wrong time or saying the wrong type of thing. Lamaisa adarabba, the teva is that a person is very, very quick to speak. That's the whole idea, by the way, of a tainis dibur. Tainis dibur, the tzaddikim who used to go through certain tkufas and they didn't talk. Many tzaddikim have during the whole el. Chodesh el and aseres mechuvah, they don't talk. And my father tells me, Rabbi Shalom Shmadron used to have a tainis dibur every Monday and Thursday. Throughout the entire year, every Monday and Thursday, he would not talk dvarim b'talem, only davening and learning. If you went over to him, he's motioning. And when he stayed in my grandparents' house, if he would want certain things in the house and he would have to ask, so he would be using psukim. He would always be say something, you know, whatever, so that you know that he wants bread. Something like that. And sometimes, like, my father and his brothers would argue, does he mean Rashi's Prat or Ramban's Prat? Like, I got everything. You have to know Gans Tanakh to understand him talking. But they used to have a tainis dibur. Well, what's the pshat? The idea is a person should be a hermit, the person shouldn't talk. No, the idea of a tainis dibur, why these people practice the tainis dibur, was that on the other days of the week, or the other days of the year, when they were talking like regular people, they would be trained to have self-control. Wait a second, is today Monday? Is today Elul? You think a second. You know, it's not Elul, but this thing is such a juicy piece of lashon hara, maybe I shouldn't say it anyway. But a person is already thinking, a person is already practicing the self-control, which is very difficult in the beginning, but once a person practices it and realizes that this is not the time to talk, just like you don't talk in the middle of Kaddish, so the same thing, you don't talk 2 minutes later in the middle of Chazar HaSashatz. Why? Because Kaddish, you never talk, because no one talks during Kaddish, even though it's not one drop more chamer to talk during Kaddish than to talk during Chazar HaSashatz. Same exact thing. So what's the difference? Because people see their neighbors talking and they're not used to controlling themselves in the middle of Chazar HaSashatz. But Kaddish, you are trained. So it all is telling the training of a person. And therefore, when a person has a tainis dibur, the idea is, I'm not recommending that people do tainis dibur, but the idea is that a person should try to practice that self-control that we learn from the me'il. The Gemara in Yuma says, on the Avdalah Ramad Beis, that anything that a person shares with you, a piece of information the person shares with you, you have an isser of baal yoimar, you shouldn't say it over, ad sheyoimar lo leichemar, until the person tells you, by the way, I'm not laughing, you could tell this to other people. We learn it out from Hashem. Hashem told Moshe a lot of things, and each one he said, leimar, to say it over. Moshe is supposed to say it over. Without the word leimar, Moshe wouldn't have told anyone the Torah. Moshe would have kept it himself. Hashem didn't say he should say it over. But if it says leimar, we learn that, oh, go tell Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara in Yuma, Daftal, Ramad Beis, learns from there that everything that you're told, if a person shares with you something about himself, Maybe he's uncomfortable that the whole world should know about this, but he feels friendly with you. It's not Lashon Hara necessarily, but he feels friendly with you. He shares to you a certain chesaron that he has, or a certain issue that he has at home. So he's a friend of yours. He's in your room, and he shares it with you. But that doesn't mean that he wants the whole yeshiva to know about it. He has a dignity that he wants to hold his head high, and he doesn't want people to know about it. Anything that a person tells you, even if you don't see necessarily that it's so derogatory, but anything that a person tells you, you need a svara to tell it over. The guy told me the feirish, I could tell it over. Well, I know the guy is not makbid if I tell it over. But that's also an issue of self-control, even not in Hilchos Lashon Hara necessarily, but stop talking at the wrong time, saying over something that a person is not comfortable for you to tell it over. And as the Chavetz Chaim says in many of his svarim, in Shmiras HaLashon, he's ma'arich about it, a person has to be a chacham. You don't hang around the crowd at breakfast that's saying all the stories about all different people. You don't hang around the crowd in the hallway that's laughing for 10 minutes straight and they're telling stories about different people and different rebbeim and different yeshivas, because then a person is prone to hearing Lashon Hara and contributing to the Lashon Hara, enjoying the Lashon Hara. A person is not a malach. The way you avoid it is adrabba. You avoid the crowds that look like they're involved in Dvarim Asurim, and then you don't test yourself to the limit. That's something that a person has to learn from the Me'il to demonstrate the self-control, the pa'amoinim, rubesoicharimoinim. Almost 100 years ago, in a city in Lita, in Lithuania, called Shavel, there was a very chashuva woman, a chashuva young woman, Rebetzin Chaya, and they used to hang out their laundry to dry. There was no washing machines to dry. They used to wash the laundry in the sink, and then hang it out to dry. And she had it hung out in her chatzar in the back, and it was hanging out to dry. There was a neighbor, another lady passing by, and her name was Leah, and she passed by, and these sheets were in her way. She wanted to get through, and the sheets were flapping in the wind. She wanted to get through, and she couldn't get through. She was not in the best of moods, and she said, you know what, this person's sheets is blocking the way through to get from her chatzar to my chatzar, and she gave a smack to the sheets. They got loose from the clothesline, and they fell down onto the floor into the mud after they'd been cleaned and washed and dried. And in the mud, and she said, it serves her right. She had a barbershus salabim, and that was it. She lost control for a moment, and she knocked it down. Rebetzin Chaya, this lady, was watching from her window and saw what happened. She didn't run out and say anything to the lady. She let it pass. She figured she must have a reason to do that. And Lamaisa, when that other lady went to her house next door, so Rebetzin Chaya went out, and she picked up the towels, the sheets, and she brought them back into her house. Obviously, they didn't just have to be hung up. Now they have to be redone totally, washed again by hand, and then hung out to dry. Within a week, this lady, Leah, the next-door neighbor, her son, a child, became very, very sick. And his mamish, she developed a very high fever. No one could figure out what it was. You might be figuring it out because I'm telling the story in this way. But at that time, it was a few days later, and she didn't think it would have any shaychus. I mean, the baby got sick, and she didn't know what to do. She went to a great makubal who was in that area, who was called the Leshem. Leshem was a great makubal, and she said, well, what's going on? Maybe you could tell me why my son suddenly got sick. And he said, nothing happens for no reason. You should be mafashresh b'maisim. Maybe you did something. She says, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I daven every day. I do mitzvahs. She couldn't think what she did. She said, maybe think a little harder. Maybe there's something you did you could figure out. So, ben adam l'amokim, ben adam l'chaveri. And then she came to this. She said, you know, I did something that was taka pretty not nice when I was in a lousy mood the other day. I can't imagine this is the reason why my kid has got such a temperature that it's life-threatening. But I knocked down a lady's sheets because I felt that they were in the way, and maybe it wasn't so proper to do that. So the Leshem said that that's taka a very not nice thing that you did. Go to the lady and ask Mechila. You'll see, maybe the baby will have a refuah shleima. So she decided to build up the courage. She went to the house of her neighbor, Rabbi Tzachaya. She knocked on the door. She wasn't home. But her husband, Rav Avram, answered the door. And the woman said, is your wife home? And he said, no. Can I take a message? So she said, no, I just, when will she be home? I have to ask her mechila for something. He said, what do you have to ask her mechila for? She didn't tell me anything happened to her. Like, I'm sure whatever you did didn't make her feel so bad. So she said, no, what do you mean? A few days ago, I knocked down the towels. You remember the sheets had to come in. They were on the clothesline, and I knocked them down. I'm the one who put them in the mud, and then she had to go do it again. So he's like, I'm pretty sure you have the wrong house, because I imagine if something like that would have happened after my wife worked many hours on the laundry, imagine she would have told it to me over supper, something. It could be it's the next door neighbor. And she says, no, I'm positive. I knocked down this thing. She said, listen, my wife is not home. You could try back later, but I guess that you have the wrong house. And she walked out very confused, a little bit frantic, because if she did have the wrong house, she didn't know who to ask Mechila from. And she went back to the Leshem. And she said, I don't know what to do. I went to the house, and the guy says that it's probably the wrong house. So he made her tell over the whole story, and he figured out which house it was, her next door neighbor. And this Rebbe Tzinchaya was the Leshem's daughter. And the Leshem says, I know this woman. The fact that she didn't tell her husband is even a greater mila than the fact that she didn't go out and musar you when you did it. So I'm sure you have the right house. Go back when she's home and ask her mechila. I just want to say, a woman like that who has such self-control that didn't tell it to her husband, I want to give her a bracha, the Leshem says, that I know this woman very well. She didn't tell that it was his daughter, but said, I know the woman very well. She's had numerous miscarriages. She hasn't had a baby yet. And I give her a bracha that she should have a baby that should light up the world in the schus of her actions. And this woman, after many miscarriages, had a boy, and it was her only child that she ever had. And that boy is Rabbi Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. He's Rabbi Eliashiv today, the biggest Paisik in Eretz Yisrael, possibly in Klal Yisrael. Paisik Adar, Rutaka lights up the world with his psak. He's an only child, and he's the child of this Rebbe Tzinchaya from the bracha of the Leshem. It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Shomer Piv u'Lashonai, if a person watches their mouth and their lashon and their tongue, Shomer Mitzareis Nafshei. Person Shomer Mitzareis Nafshei, he watches himself from tzaras. This woman demonstrated such incredible self-control, not just to not give musa to this woman, but also not to even tell her husband she felt, what's the tayelis? I'm going to tell my husband that this lady did something wrong. He'll always look at her with a bad eye. I'll do the laundry again and that's it. It's an incredible self-control that comes from a chinuch that a person works on themselves, making sure not to say something when it's not 100% mutter and it's not 100% necessary. And with this, she was zeichet Rebbe Eliashiv, shomer mitzareis nafshei. She was shomer herself from tzaras of miscarriages, and she had a child who taka lit up the world. So she should all be zeichet to internalize the lessons of the Big Day Kahuna, first of all, the lesson of the Me'il, to control our urge to say something at the wrong time when it's asur to talk, or to say certain things that are derogatory about people, even though it may be a very juicy geshmak, a piece of Lashon Hara, but to try to develop in ourselves that self-control that the Me'il shows us, pa'amoinim b'saychar imoinim. Each dibur is two shtikas. Think twice, be quiet twice, before you open your mouth to say something, to make sure that the thing is taka appropriate. And in general, to learn from the Big Day Kahuna, the lesson that the Sefer Chinuch shows us, that the clothing that a person chooses to wear is a statement, and it's not just a statement mibachutz, but eventually it is ma'ir, his mood and his own feelings inside of him, and we should taka choose clothing that are appropriate for yeshiva bachar, and in general, we should be zoicha together to witness the avodas beis hamikdash with the Big Day Kahuna b'meir v'meir.